Radio. This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets. It's O-Behave with Arden Moore, the show that teaches you how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Join Arden as she travels coast to coast to help millions better understand why cats and dogs do what they do. Get the latest scoop on famous faces, their perfectly pampered pets, and who's walking who in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails, garner great pet tips, and have a doggone fur-flying fun time. So get ready for the pause and applause as we unleash your O-Behave host, America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore.
Welcome to the O-Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Now, I'm betting by now, all those well-intended New Year's resolutions you set for yourself, they're poof, they're gone, they're dust. But there is always, always time to bring out the healthy best in our dogs and cats. How, you ask? Well, guess what? The answer man is here to unleash some really great tips for your dogs and cats. I would like at this time for you to give pause and applause to the medical director of the Heart of Chelsea Veterinary Group in New York City. Please welcome Dr. Andrew Torcha. Welcome, welcome, Dr. Andrew.
Hello, thank you for having me.
All right. So we're going to get going on some things we can do for our dogs and cats, but people are like, who is he? We got to know. Well, this guy, I love that you put in a full day as a veterinarian. What is something you also enjoy when you're not saving lives?
Can I still say cats?
Yes!
Cats. I absolutely love them.
I say real men love cats. What is it about cats? And they're very popular these days, and they're getting their due. I mean, there's adventure cats now. They're blowing it up on social media, Instagram, things like that. But as a man, what is it about cats?
I love dogs. Grew up with dogs.
Yeah, as an aside, okay.
They're amazing. Yeah, so that's basically it. Dogs are why I became a vet. And then I got forced into knowing cats because you don't just do one animal when you're a veterinarian. And after I started to get to know them, I don't think I've really met anyone that's truly lived with a cat and bonded with a cat that hasn't become an eternal cat person. It's a relationship that can't be replaced.
I understand you have a couple of cats at home. And when you say their names, the second one that you adopted will explain your other love. So go ahead and name your two cats and what they're all about.
Okay, so my first son is Mango. Of course, he's an orange cat, original, right? But he came into me when I was working in emergency and he was in a scary situation and he really didn't have an owner. So I just decided to keep him. And I'm so happy that I did.
Well, you kind of name him a perfectly terrible cat. What does that mean?
He's terrible. Well, he's orange and, you know, who knows how many brain cells are actually up there with the orange ones.
Oh, now you be nice. I got an orange tabby too, Casey. He rules my world.
Okay, maybe mine with mine.
Okay.
Misguided. He doesn't know how to play with soft paws. If you just walk past him, he bats at you. But then he just wants to headbutt you and be held upside down. I could hold him upside down in my arm for 3 hours and just cook dinner. Mango's right there. Every call.
So who's the other feline friend?
And then the other one is Lady Macbeth. And she is a beautiful little angel cat that I couldn't live without either.
Lady Macbeth, which brings us to this. Hey, pet pals, Dr. Torcha, you know, he's got some good credentials. He went to the University of Florida, got his veterinary degree. He's from the Northeast, Pennsylvania. Now he's in New York. You've done a lot of things. I love on your bio that you have a passion for soft tissue surgery, wound management, and cardiology. That sounds all veterinarian, but you love the theater, right?
Absolutely. That was my first love. What that really helped me find myself when I was a kid.
How so?
It's a very accepting community. It's organized, it's structured, and it's also very artistic. And then there's always a message behind it. Always. All art. There's always a message behind it. And I think all of those things combined really made me fall in love with it.
So have you performed on stage?
I, back in the day, used to be a performer, yes. My undergrad degree was in acting. And I double majored in acting and veterinary biomedical science.
What do people say when they see that different kind of both sides of the brain being tapped?
I don't know. I hope they're thinking, well, I hope you spent enough time in the veterinary park because usually that's what I'm doing with them. But there's a huge link between the arts and the sciences. There's a huge link between those two. Very calculated also, the arts.
Well, you also probably have an amazing bedside manner.
I think that it's something that I always try to prioritize because it's so important. It changes everything. You can say whatever medical jargon you want to say to people, but what matters is that they understand it and they feel okay with what's happening. And that's kind of part of, especially at Heart of Chelsea, what we do. It's about the partnership with the person. We want to be your partner. It's kind of not how veterinarians used to practice.
No, I like that. So could you tell us a little bit about Heart of Chelsea Veterinary Group? I mean, you've got the word heart in your company name.
We started about 25 years ago with one man named Mark Siebert. And then he just built this empire and added veterinarians that were here to really subscribe to the culture of the practice. And it's about being there for our clients, being there for their pets, and of course, being there for our employees and supporting each other.
How many locations in the Big Apple?
5 locations. We've got 3 locations in Manhattan and 2 locations in Brooklyn. And then I just helped to open up our second location in Brooklyn in Prospect Heights.
You're a medical director, so tell me some of the things you need to do every day besides practicing your Shakespeare.
I do that. I close the office door and put a couple.
Do you say never was there a greater tale of woe than that of Juliet and Romeo, right?
And Lady Macbeth. No.
And Lady Macbeth. Do you have a quote from Lady Macbeth you love?
I mean, there's just such a good story. And that character of Lady Macbeth is why I love it. Everything that she is, her power, the power dynamic between Lady Macbeth and her husband, and how just the entire show, that power dynamic shows. And I think that's so relatable to today. I mean, I hope that it's not so much of a conflicting story, but that's why I fell in love with that play.
All right. So what are some of the things you get to do as a veterinarian and a medical director at Heart of Chelsea?
Well, it really just starts with learning how to be a medical director, which has honestly been my whole journey. And I'm just always growing, always learning about how to be a good coach and a good mentor and how to foster a culture that is beneficial for everyone and helps people grow. So really, that's been my focus, is that I need to figure out how to be good for the people that I work with.
So we talked at the top of the show that, hey, you know, we try to make resolutions at the start of every year. It doesn't always work. But you're on a mission to help people lucky enough to have a dog or a cat or more in their life to get them healthy. So what are some tips you can offer our pet pals when it comes to making sure your dog or cat doesn't look like a hairy ottoman?
So we're doing more than just sitting around in front of the fireplace. I love that. I think it is actually really interesting that you asked me about being a medical director and then asked me this question, because I think the coaching style can be applied.
Yes.
When you're setting goals, have you heard of a SMART goal?
Yes.
Specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-based. So if you're going to set a goal for your pet, choose a SMART goal. And instead of just saying, I'm going to play with Fluffy more, like I'm going to make sure that Fluffy gets 30 minutes of exercise at least twice a week for the next 3 months. And then in 3 months, I'm going to assess that goal, see if it was realistic, see if I achieved it, set a new goal.
And from the veterinarian standpoint, and I'm saying this as I could shed a few pounds, what is the impact of a dog or a cat having extra pounds they don't need? What happens to their health?
It's everything. Absolutely everything. If you name a breed, then I can name a reason why being overweight will affect them. And it's about just a healthy lifestyle, really.
Okay.
I don't focus on, especially, I mean, I think in the human world, but also in the animal world, I don't focus on a number. We focus on a body condition score. How muscled you are, how much you can feel over top the ribs. Do you taper out at the waist? Are you breathing comfortably even?
Yeah.
And that's the focus.
So if a dog has extra weight, what are some of the body systems that could be in jeopardy?
I think if I were to think of what comes to mind as the number one impact, it would probably be joint health.
Okay.
We're looking at the little dachshunds when they have back issues.
Oh, the low riders. Yeah.
Low-riders.
They're so long and they have such short legs.
It's true. There's certainly some genetic issues there. They're perfect little, cute little apartment dogs, and I absolutely love them. They have amazing mentation, so I'm happy we have them. Because we kind of created these genetics through breeding, it's our responsibility then to care for them as to the best of our abilities.
Hey, everybody. We're speaking with Dr. Andrew Torcha. He is a medical director at the Heart of Chelsea Veterinary Group in the Big Apple, New York City. We're going to dive in more about some ways to keep our pet their healthy best this year and beyond. But you know the drill. We got to take a break. So ready, sit, stay. We'll be right back.
Time for a walk on the red carpet, of course. All Behave will be back in a flash right after these messages.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We're animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Hey, I'm Bill Berlone, theatrical animal trainer, pet advocate, and dog lover. Tune in to the Old Behave Show, hosted by Arden Moore on Pet Life Radio. What?
We're back from the lot. Just checked the paper and we had a record showing at the box. The letterbox, that is. Now back to Old Behave. Here's Arden.
Welcome back to the Old Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I am enjoying speaking with Dr. Andrew Torcha. He's a medical director at the Heart of Chelsea Veterinary Group in New York City. He's a major cat daddy. He has two cats, Lady Macbeth, of course, and Mango. But you mentioned the fact that extra weight on a dog, a cat, can do some body no good for the joints. What do you mean by that? And how do you avoid crash dieting in a dog or a cat?
Well, here's the thing. I think, now I'm not an expert in psychiatry, but I think a lot of crash dieting is mental. And
yeah,
we are lucky enough, for the most part, to be in complete control of every calorie that enters your pet's little body.
Yeah, they're not taking the car keys and going through McDonald's and saying, supersize me, right?
Right. And if they do that, film it and you'll make a ton of money off it.
Good answer. Good answer. Okay. So we can control what goes in their mouth.
Right. I've always said I wish I had a giant vending machine that only dispensed the calories that I needed for the day. So it wasn't on me.
Okay.
And so you can be very calculated with it. You can see, okay, Fluffy has gained weight on X amount of calories. If you need help figuring out how many calories you're feeding them, work with your veterinarian. Take away 20 or 25%, weigh them again in a month, see if that number's gone down, or see a veterinarian in a month, have an exam again, see if their body's feeling better.
When you're at an ideal weight, not only is the dog or cat strutting really good, but what's happening to their body systems, like their heart, their lungs, their liver, if they're at a good weight?
When they're at a good weight, of course, it just helps with everything. High levels of fat content can really have a negative impact on the liver.
Yeah.
Dogs I manage where we have to get them on a severely restricted fat restricted diet where and they're at the point where any fat that enters their system is not getting metabolized in a good way. So liver disease is big, and in cats mostly inducing diabetes is
not fun.
And there's something in the air. I mean, I've had at least 4 newly diabetic cats in the past month.
Are you kidding? Huh. What do you think? Is it them eating too much corn in the meal and the diet? What do you think could be causing that?
A lot of times it's about carbohydrate intake. People expect dry food to be lower in calories than canned food because it looks it. And canned food just kind of looks more palatable. But it's the other way around. So those cats that have dry food for them all the time, they're the ones at risk. The ones that just go to the dry food that's constantly available. Blood sugar goes up. As your blood sugar goes up, you need insulin to bring that blood sugar into the cells to give those cells that energy. Because the blood sugar is so high all the time, the cells are just getting way too much of that sugar. So they downregulate and they stop paying attention to the insulin. And that's what makes you diabetic.
And when it comes to cats and dogs, Dr. Torcha, cats don't really want to tell you they're feeling bad, do they? They don't emote. They wouldn't be a good actor in Shakespeare like a dog would be, right?
Absolutely agree. Absolutely. I mean, sometimes, full transparency, I look at my cat and I think, are you okay? Is everything okay? I mean, it is. But because I do annual screening, I take them in, get blood work done. In cats, it's so important to test their urine as well when you're doing blood work. So important because...
Well, what are you finding, good doctor, when you do a urine draw out of the bladder or you take a blood draw? Because for us mere mortals, we're like, well, Casey, my cat, and Kona, my dog, they're not telling me where they're aching or hurting. But what do you see in those really vital annual blood and urine tests?
I could talk to you about this for 3 hours. There okay. are so many things that pop up.
Hey, everybody, this is going to be a really extended episode.
What is it? Sit, stay, here.
But tell us a few things that you as a veterinarian need to make sure people understand the importance of an annual physical that includes the blood and urine work.
I think the point I would drive home more than anything is lab testing, I feel, is almost most beneficial when you get it in succession.
Okay.
We've got breeds of dogs, breeds of cats, and we've taken all these numbers we've gotten from, 100,000 lab tests to tell us what their lab results should be. But all of these breeds are so different. There's so many differences between them. So just because we have a range for a dog doesn't mean your dog is normal when their values are within that normal range. So if I see your dog with a nice low kidney value below 1, and then your dog goes up to what's considered normal at 1.5, that might be abnormal for your dog. So really, yearly successional blood work is so important so you can see the trends.
I like that. I like that. And you're in New York City. I love New York City. I've actually been there on events where years ago I took my husky from California to New York City to do some media work. And Chipper, the husky mix, was so excited because she got to pee and poop in Central Park. What are dogs like in the Big Apple? I mean, they're with tons of other dogs, tons of other people. Walking does a dog good, doesn't it?
Walking does the dog good, does a human good too. But I actually, so I'm from countryside, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Amish town. And I located here. And I kind of think that the dogs here get a bit more exercise because we have to.
That's a good point.
Activate. We don't just open a back door and they just go outside and then sit at the back door and wait to come back in. Some dogs will run around and enjoy themselves. But here, it's like, all right, every morning I'm getting up. I'm taking them to the dog park. There's going to be our little play group of dogs that they're going to interact with. And that way, you're knowing that they get more exercise. You're there and you witness it.
When you're walking a dog on a leash in New York City, I know there's a lot of stuff on the ground, litter. I've heard marijuana joints. I've heard something with poison put in a hot dog to kill the rat. Good luck with getting the rats out of New York City. So is there any tips you can give people when they're leash walking a dog to keep them from seeing you as an emergency visit?
Of course. I would love for you to not have to come in for an emergency visit. Retractable leashes are not the best option.
And please, thank you, good doctor. Tell everybody why.
My background's in emergency. Spent 5 years doing emergency overnights in New York City. And the amount of times I've seen a broken retractable leash or a retractable leash where you just didn't get that button down and your dog runs into another dog that wasn't prepared for that. The amount of times I've seen that come into the ER, I can't even tell you. So running out into the street or the cord breaks from it, the mechanism breaks. So no retractable leashes. You have more control with a shorter, stronger leash.
Okay. What are you doing when you're walking your dog in the streets of New York City? I hope you're going to tell them not to be looking at their phone while they're walking.
Exactly. Get off your cell phone. I used to have a video of a dog. Of course, I immediately came up and gently, politely, no, but I had a video of a dog where two New Yorkers were walking their dogs and they knew each other and they stopped. It was in 90 degree August weather. And they stopped and they were talking and you can see their dogs dancing because the sidewalk was so hot. And I just snapped a quick video and I walked up and showed them politely, really, honestly.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful because, of course, you just pay attention to them. Don't sit on your phone. Just you're there with your dog. And it's like such a special bond that you get to spend time with your dog. So give them that time.
So where are some fun places you see dogs being walked in the city? We obviously have Central Park, but is there any other gems that people could take their dogs?
There are parks scattered all around New York, dog parks specifically, because there's definitely a need for them. And there's even the ones that you might not immediately see, like there are areas in high rises that are designated for dogs to be off leash, things like that. So if you just look around, do a little Google search in your area, I bet you'll find something within about 5 blocks.
So what is some tips you can give for people before they take that dog into a dog park? What should they do to pay attention to the vibe?
Great question. I would say this is honestly across all of America, something you should know about, but staying up to date on vaccines, I think it feels a little bit more foreign to people because dogs get vaccinated more frequently than people do in general.
Right.
And think about their exposure. And their faces are in the ground. Their paws are their bare paws.
They're licking butts. Come on. You can say that. They're eating things that came out the South End, right?
Exactly. And so specifically leptospirosis is, we've had just serial upticks in leptospirosis. After 2020, we had more of a rat outbreak in New York City. Leptospirosis is spread a lot through the urine of rodents, so rats and mice.
And that's something the dog can give to you, right? What about Bordetella?
Bordetella, I probably treat Bordetella every week.
Wow.
So like most vaccines, like almost all vaccines, you're still at risk of contracting this disease. But again, like most vaccines, the life-threatening portion is mostly relieved when you have a vaccine. So instead of getting this full-blown pneumonia where they have to be hospitalized in an oxygen tank, which is the way that we provide oxygen to dogs if we need to hospitalize them, you might have a little cold. And that you can handle.
Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. Well, what about cats? What are some must-have vaccines? And people go, well, my cat only lives in the house. My cat will be bulletproof against any diseases. Baloney, right?
It is not entirely true. When I come in from a long day, or if I come in from work, I actually don't interact with my cats until close in the hamper. I shower and change just because you can bring things in on your clothes. It feels like you, but this aerosolized respiratory stuff can be brought in on your clothes.
I bet Lady Macbeth and Mango are very grateful that you groom yourself very well like a cat.
I hope so. Did you hear that?
You don't bring cooties in. But what about toys and cats? I've been to some homes, Dr. Torcha, where I'm like, I want to be that cat. They seem to have a zillion toys, but what's a good way of using toys with a purpose to bring play with a purpose for a cat?
Oh, I love that. Being smart about what toy you choose, for sure. I don't like really long, stringy things because they can be risky. I don't like to try to make them have these huge bursts of energy. I mean, they are.
Okay.
23 hours of stagnant, and then you ask them to sprint. So I keep it gentle at first, and then more activity. If you're going to do something like a laser pointer, it's not exactly our favorite toy for cats, because you need to not foster this frustration that they can have when they literally can't laser pointer. No one can.
Yeah, they can't touch it, right? So it'd be like you want a glass of wine and the glass becomes invisible.
I can't even think about that.
Okay, but what's something tactile that they can do? What do you do with Lady Macbeth and Mango when they get ready to get some exercise?
Oh, I love obstacles. I love setting up obstacles. They want to play around something. They want to play underneath a door frame or a door. They want to be in the box and be jumping out of the box. It kind of mimics their natural instinct, right? They crouch, they hide, and then they pounce. So I give them that opportunity.
We have one little last area before we let you go and save lives as you do. Down in the mouth, what's the deal about doggy breath, even in a cat? And why should we not just say, well, that's just them?
Right. I mean, the deal is they should have their teeth brushed just like we should. And we go to the dentist every 6 months. We brush hopefully twice a day, flossing too. And
I do.
Right. And I didn't know that when I was a kid. I didn't know that. I just thought dog breath smelled.
Yeah.
But we've learned a lot. I got a couple tips. So that abrasive toothbrush, I don't start with it. If you're going to start brushing your teeth, cat, brushing your cat's teeth or your dog's teeth, start with something soft and easy. Just a quick little brush with a paper towel that has toothpaste on it. 1, 2, 3. And you can grab it up to a toothbrush, but just get them used to it at first. Having a veterinarian take a look into their mouth and talk to you about whether it's necessary to do an anesthetized dental cleaning. That can be super important as well. And then my final tip is the Veterinary Oral Health Council.
All right. VOHC. Say it loud. Say it proud. VOHC. All right. That should be on the label, right?
Yes. They have VOHC approved products that you can find on their website. I've sent at least 10,000 people to them. They're so...
Well, some people may not be coordinated enough to put one of those finger brushes on. There are some enzymes out there and there's some lickable things. It seems like this is an age where more attention's being paid to oral health by veterinarians for dogs and cats. So there are some other options, right?
Yes, there's water additives. There's chews that release that enzyme as well. Powders you can put on the food. They're all good. It does correlate to their systemic health.
It does. I can't believe it goes by so fast, but Broadway show that you've been going to go to, and is it a Shakespeare one? You're a theater major.
I'm going to go see Sunset Boulevard tomorrow.
All right.
It's a classic, classic movie that I highly recommend.
What is your favorite Shakespeare play?
I would say The Tempest.
And why?
Because it was the final one.
And do you have a favorite Shakespeare quote? I always want to say, nice play, Bill. Shakespeare, sorry. That was my bad pun. Okay.
Shakespeare. Whoa, that's a tough one. I can't think of a specific Shakespeare quote that really sings to me.
Well, mine was, beware of jealousy, my son, 'tis the green-eyed monster. Do you know what that's from?
What is that from?
I think that's Iago and Desdemona. What is the play?
I think you're more of a Shakespeare fan than I am.
I just had a really cool high school teacher years ago, Mr. Gordon, who would act out Shakespeare plays in Crown Point High School in Indiana. And I was like, what is wrong with this man? And he made it so fun. But you love Shakespeare. You named your cat after a main character.
I did.
Any parting message you want to give, Dr. Torcha, to our pet pals tuning in?
Absolutely. If you're in the New York area, please come down to Heart of Chelsea. We really want to create a partnership with pet parents. Be there to whatever capacity you need us to be.
And how do we find you? What's the site? What website?
Heartofchelsea.com.
That's too easy. Dr. Andrew Torcha, you put up with me. Thank you. And thank you for all you do for dogs and cats in the Big Apple and beyond. At this time, I want to do a shout out to my producer, Mark Winter. He is the executive producer of Pet Life Radio. And humbly, we're the largest radio network on pets. And this show you're tuning into right now has been on the air since, oh my goodness, 07, which makes us the longest running pet podcast on the planet. When no one knew what a podcast was. I think my cell phone has a podcast now. But keep showing up for us. I have a really fun e-newsletter. Go to fourleggedlife.com, sign up. We give prizes. We profile people like good doctors, like Dr. Torcha. And if you really want to be your pet's best health ally, would you please join me in one of our veterinary-approved pet first aid for you classes. We teach it online, interactive, in person. And soon we will be doing a self-paced course, all veterinary approved, starring pet safety dog Kona and pet safety cat Casey. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words to all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. Oh, behave.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's Oh Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. Oh Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.